All right, so we're looking at the Inyan of Tu B'Shvat. Actually, Rosh Chodesh is going to be on Monday, and so we're getting in there. We were Yotzei the 30-day prep. So last time, I'll just say kind of like just an overview, and that is that. When it comes to the halacha of Arla, okay, so Arla only applies in Eretz Yisrael. That's the first thing. The way it works, the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah says that there's Rosh Hashanah Aleph Tishrei, the first of Tishrei. That is the Rosh Hashanah, that's the beginning of the new year for how we count our years and a number of other things. And one of the other things that it includes is Linatia, so that when you plant a tree, you start counting the 3 years of Arla from the time that you planted. So let's say, for example, you plant your tree in the summertime, and it comes to Rosh Hashanah, so that's, let's say it was Tammuz. And then you come to Elul and then Tishrei, so Rosh Hashanah, you have culminated year one. Then the next year, Tishrei, year two, third year, year three. So now the question is, the tree is very quick. It blossoms beautifully. It bears fruit. So those fruits are considered to be Arla, year one, year two, year three. When you came to year three, so that means that you crossed over into the next Tishrei. You've entered the, now what is called, you've culminated 3 years. So now is that, have you now moved over into Netar Avai, the fourth year, which the fruits of that year are treated like Maaser Sheni, right? So the same way that we have this requirement, you have fruits that are 10% Truma is like 1 to 2%. Maaser Rishon is taken off, that's 10%, and then you take another 10% off in years, besides years 3 and 6, years 1, 2, and 4, 5 in the Shemitah cycle, that extra 10% is Maaser Sheni. It's yours, but you have an obligation to eat it within the walls of Jerusalem and Yerushalayim. Fine. So Netar Avai, the same thing when it comes to a tree that's in its fourth year, that those fruits you have to take up to Yerushalayim. That is considered to be like similar to Maaser Sheni. You got to eat in Yerushalayim. Can't carry it up. You redeem it on money. Go up to Yerushalayim. You go out to Rodriguez, you go to, upstairs at the Mamila Hotel, right? You buy some good steaks with your mice, with your Netar Avai money. Fantastic. That's interesting. I never thought about it. Like, does it have to be that you're buying fruits and vegetables as opposed to, let's say, a good steak? Okay, look into that. That's a good question. But either way, when do we cross over into the fourth year? So the answer is actually, it's not Aleph Tishrei. Rather, now there's a shift. And in order for you to go outside of Arla, you have to actually wait till Tu B'Shvat, the 15th of Shvat, because that is Rosh Hashanah Li'ilanos. That's the Rosh Hashanah for trees. So you see here, he explains, is that you have this very interesting interplay between Aleph Tishrei and Tu B'Shvat. And what's going on here? So if you just medayik, if you look closely at the wording of the Mishnah, Aleph Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah Linatiyah for planting. And then when you go past year three of that cycle using Aleph Tishrei as your way of counting, you've now left the status of Natiyah. And I don't know if it's really in English called a sapling or not. So I'm not going to use that. I'm just going to use the word Natiyah, the planting, changes over to become a tree, okay? So now that you've entered tree status, it's no longer enough to wait for Aleph Tishrei. You now have to move over to Tu B'Shvat because you're a tree. And as a tree, in order to be considered post-Arla, post 3 years of the count, or you have to do it by the Rosh Hashanah for the trees. That's Tu B'Shvat. But it's interesting is that until that point, so now there's a gap between Tishrei and Shvat, which is about 4.5 months, right? Because, right, it's 4 plus that other 15 days. So That's like now you've crossed over from the planted to the tree. Okay? Well, what's amazing is that Aleph Tishrei is, you would say, is the way that you count years for people. And that's what Aleph Tishrei is when Adam was created, right? It was the sixth day of creation. Aleph Tishrei is when man was created, and we're going to count our years from that point of departure. But what's amazing here is that now, the way the halacha is it's formulated, you see that there's this very deep connection between how you count men and how you count trees. And that there's, at a certain point, when it becomes a tree, it changes to its own thing. But at a netiya standpoint, when it's just a planted thing, it's going to be connected back to the way that you count for people, for human beings.
Quick question.
Yeah.
So the 14-day difference, so you've basically the Mishnah's arguing about 14-day difference,
you're
right?
talking about for in terms of Bishama Beis Hillel?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
But is
I'm
that
saying I was
isn't that the same argument in Rosh Hashanah for how long it takes for something to take root?
I'm not even wait, tell me what you're talking about in terms of like Chanata, like what it means to like
No, I think there's a machlokas in Rosh Hashanah. If you plant, how
how much has to
and then
grow in
you,
order? But this
in
is something no, but
Shemitah,
this is a,
how
no, but
long
this
does
no, no, but
that?
right now we're talking about a 4.5 month differential between
A what?
a 4.5 month. It's
Okay.
right. It's from Aleph Tishrei till Tu
Yep.
B'Shvat is 4.5 months. It's not 14 days. It's like we're
Yep.
talking a sub. So there's
Okay.
a big. There's a
So
big.
what's the makor of that?
It's a, it's the Mishnah, the way the Mishnah
I
reads.
understand, but what is
So.
it? Halacha? Is it a halacha Moshe B'Sinai? What is it?
Yeah, I would say. I mean, it's.
And what's the theoretical underpinning of that?
No, so that's the question. So now that's what we're going to look at now. Okay, so we'll look a little bit, but you see from the way the halacha is formulated with what we just explained, you see this like shift from planted to tree status, but that it's like almost like you're in the initial stages of the tree, you have some kind of very deep connection between the tree and the human being, the man, and then there's a shift when it crosses over the line. Like when once you like kind of exit that initial period, you're going from one place to the other. Which, in a way, when you think about it, again, you always have to go back to the way the Torah tells us about the creation story, right? Because when you think about the creation story, let me see if I can pull it up quickly here. You see something pretty interesting. And that is that, you have multiple, you have, a number of different times where the Torah tells us about the creation of Adam. Let's see if I can pull it up here quickly. And I think it's Parak Beis already, right? Okay, through the rivers. Okay, Vayikach Hashem Elokim. So let me share my screen here. How do we do that here? Become like a Microsoft Teams guy. Okay, here we go. All right, so you have it's now it's Parak Beis of Bereishis, and it tells us after. Just to go back here, it says Vayitzar Hashem Elokim es Adama from an Adama v'yipach b'pav nishmas chayim. Right, so Hashem created man from the dirt, the dust of the earth. He blew into his nostrils a living soul, and he became a living being. Then it says, "Vayita Hashem Elokim gan be'eden mikedem, vayasim sham et Adam asher yatzar." Hashem, he planted a garden in Eden, in the east, and placed there the human who had been fashioned. Who had created. Okay? And then it talks about that Hashem then, Vayitzmach Hashem Elokim min ha'adamah kol etz nechmad l'marev etov l'machal v'etz achayim etoch agan v'etz adayet das tovara. So you see man's creation, and really this is the spiritual depiction of the creation of man, because it's Vayipach Ba'am Nishmas Chaim. And then right there, boom, you have this idea of planting a garden and putting man in that garden, in that place. But it's, look at, notice the lashon vayita, right, is that a God planted, and it's almost like this planting of the tree or the garden, right, is parallel to God now placing man in that place, right? So it's like deep connection between netia, planting, and man being placed, so that. In a certain sense, the way he explains it, if you look at the lashon of the pasuk, it's very deep in the terms of netiah, planting, and the connection to that in man, and therefore it would explain why Aleph Tishrei is when you count for man and for the planting. But then later on, you see this split, because when you get to year 3, Aleph Tishrei is no longer the thing that's the measuring stick. Now we shift it to Tu B'Shvat. There's a shift to tree being having a different measuring stick, and so Arla is now measured by how you measure trees, not how you measure plantings and how you measure man. What we explain is that after the chait of Adam eating from the tree, so then it says that Hashem clothed man with kosnot or with an ayin, so like skin, leather, he put on him something, right? So what did he put on him? He put on an arla. He actually put on a foreskin. So that man now, the whole nature of the human being changed, so that man now would have a foreskin. And that was, now with that foreskin, he's considered to be an arel. And that all of the nations of the world would have that. Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people, were commanded to remove that, right? And again, we'll see this like shift back and forth, but you see that the consequences of eating from the Eitz Hadas is now man's nature is changed, and now he has this covering. And similar to that is the Arlas Halev, is that we also have like an outer shell on our hearts that needs to be penetrated. So like we have this thing that is standing in the way of us connecting, so to speak, to Hashem and to being connected to things in general. And so too, the Adama also is impacted. Now, what's amazing is that the Adama's, you know, impact from, meaning, because it says, what does it say? It says that that Hashem, what is it, where's the words for it? That the Adama is cursed, right, as a consequence of Adam's sin, right? So what happens? Let me fast forward here. Where do we have it? When Hashem says to Adam, he says to him, Adam Amar, let me just bring it up again. Hold on a second, let me find it here. Right, so now this is this is Perek Gimel Pasuk, Tes Zion, La Adam Amar, Ki Shamata Lakol Ishtecha, Vi Ratocham in the Eitz, Asher Sivi Sicha Lemor Lo Tocham Imeno, don't eat from it, Arura Adama. So you see here, Beferish, is that the ground, the earth, was also cursed, Bavarecha, Bitzvon Tochlena Kol Yimechayecha. But you see right here that there is a, not just a consequence to man, but also to the Adama. Okay, and so just where do we see this idea of this idea of the kosnos or? So where do we have that? So first you have everybody passing the buck and blaming everybody else, it was their fault. Okay. Then he says, so it goes through the curses for each one. And then Adam names Chava, and then Vayaz Hashem Elokim, Adam Lishto Kosnos or Vayal Bishem. So I think it's the Zohar says that that Kos Nosor is where this idea of what we talked about the idea of now man has a foreskin. There's this thing that's going to be, whereas originally there was nothing covering or, you know, and in the way, now you're going to have this protective, you know, just the same way that clothing protects us. So too, this is going to be something that's protective, but it also is something that is a chatzitza. It's something that gets in the way. Okay, so now, picking up from where we left off. So in the text, it's on page Chaf Dalet. So it says like this: Ein lecha ketz megula mizeh. Ube'emet shnot ha'arla hein tikun lechet ha'kadmoni. So now, the idea of the years of Arla is that, so just going back a step, the idea is that we said that the Adama is cursed, specifically in the land of Eretz Yisrael, because that's the place of creation, the place where you have the Evan Shasia, right, where the stone, right, the accretion stone that's sitting all the way on, you know, in Har Moriah over there, where you have the Dome of the Rock now, but that's the accretion stone, that's where the seed of creation. So that's Eretz Yisrael. So the Adama that was affected by the Chet of Adam and Chava is the Adama of Eretz Yisrael. So we say that there is a Zuhama, there's some kind of negative, very deeply, you know, rooted negative energy that's placed into man from Nachash. It stays within him, and it has to be extricated. And so too, it happens to the Adama that also gets this Zuhama. And that Zuhama is specifically in, again, also in the Eretz Yisrael, in the land of Israel, and needs to be worked out. And so what ends up happening is that when the tree in the land of Israel is growing for the first time, it's starting to draw, the initial things, it draws this negative, we call it the arelus, let's say, out of the land, out of the ground. And it's through that 3 years, through that entire period of anything that comes out, it's drawing out, and all that stuff that comes out is literally, it has this negative energy in it. I call it energy for lack of a better, but it captures the Zuhama type of thing. So there's something very negative within that, drawn out over 3 years, and after your 3 years, and that has been purged, so then it crosses over into the fourth year, Netar Avai, which is already now needs to be brought up to Yerushalayim and eaten there. And by the fifth year, we've really fully completed the turnaround. Now, so just reading back here. So, Emet Shnos Ha'arla Hein Tikun L'Chet HaKadmoni. So the truth is, the years of Arla are like a fix for those for the original sin. U'be'ezeh Tavin Et Omek Hatzivoy Shel HaTorah L'Nitar Eitzim Be'eretz Yisrael. So now we can understand the depths of the idea, the concept. We can know that there's this idea of planting trees in Eretz Yisrael. How lofty this is. Because it's the trees that pull out from the potential into the reality, into the right of that which is hidden or that which is stuck in the ground. Similar to the way we have in the physical dimension, Cain, the Meimad Haruchni, so too in the dimension of the spiritual. Yakain, Kol Od Lonotim Eitzim, so as long as there's not a physical planting of trees, Lo Yotze Koach Adama Hachutza, that latent power or potential that's in the ground stays there. And needs to be, so there's a need for it to be drawn out. Vinei, B'tchila Yotze Sa'arla. So when you plant a tree, and now what's coming out from the tree is you're pulling from the ground that energy, the Zuhama, which is the Arla. But that extra, that growth that's coming out is actually a fixing. It's a corrective type of thing. It actually is a way of getting the klipa out and then for it to be dissipated, to be kind of dissipated and to cease existence. And from there comes the fixing, and then we have We have a an allowance or a revealing of the kedusha. And that's why we see when we cross over to the fourth year, all those are holy and sanctified to God. And that is the law of the year. And that year, everything is holy. And that's where we have a redemption of the land, right? It's being freed from the klipa. So therefore, now, work back, the whole planting of trees is an amazing thing. So this whole idea of planting trees is actually a corrective type of thing in terms of removing the klipa that's tamon, that's in the ground. So when you have a situation when the land of Israel is producing fruits in a very, productive way, this is a proof. This is actually the greatest expression of redemption. So it's actually, this is a great way to measure, right? You want to understand about whether Hashem's presence is found, and that there's been a corrective and a cleansing. That's the greatest way of seeing. Because at the end of days, the end of time, is really showing us that there's been a corrective. The situation has been corrected in terms of God's presence. Zichach nishmas Yisrael, and so too the cleansing of the souls of the Jewish people. Sheyuchul ha'ir bolam, that now can really illuminate in the world. Umlamid Rabbi Abba shetabit ala peros. So Rabbi Abba said, look at the fruits, v'tira et sod nishmas Yisrael v'hashkina v'tikuna. You're able to see the hidden, in terms of the loftiness of the Jewish soul and the corrective action in terms of being able to now have a proper presence of Hashem. But wait, he says, this is amazing. Like, you're talking about a physical thing, a fruit. But then how can you have an expression, how can you express this lofty level on a spiritual plane? But this is really the greatness of Hashem. That Hashem is able to take and create a connection between the physical and the spiritual. Eretz Yisrael hatachtona, himamish levush leor hashchina aliona. Eretz Yisrael below is a vestment for the light of the Shechina of above. V'peiros Eretz Yisrael himamish gidulim shalor, and that therefore the lights. I'm sorry, and therefore the fruits of Eretz Yisrael are actually the growth of, like literally the growth of the light of the spiritual light. So therefore, at the beginning of the three-year cycle, so then now you have the negative elements coming out, right from the land. But when you have Eretz Yisrael growing and emitting or right producing its fruits in a very blessed way, zoedus al siyam haklipa, because that's showing you then that's really the culmination. We're coming to the end of the klipa. Ki halo ilu hayita haaretz adayin tachas shilton haklipa, because if Eretz Yisrael was still under the auspices, under the control of the klipa, lo hayta notenes peres b'ayin yafel am Yisrael, it wouldn't be giving its fruits in an abundant way to the Jewish people. Because the klipa is the opposite. It's going negative. It's going against any type of flow for the Jewish people. Kilo tosafte kocha le yireveha, right? Because it's not going to want to give its power, right, to its rivals. But in haaretz maleat tenuva mishvil Yisrael. So eda shashkina hi hasholetet baretz. So when we are in a situation where we have an abundance of the peiros haaretz coming, that's showing that Hashem is the Shechina. Hashem's presence is really what's that is really dominant. And therefore, so you have a spiritual thing that's expressed in the physical reality. And this explains like what it means when Chazal say that from the time of the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, the taste of the fruits no longer the same. But v'soda asher amarnu, who asher amar, but this, but really the deep idea is that what we said. What does it mean that the taste went away? Ki ikar koach haperos umetikutam na'utz besod haras hashchina. That it, what happens in Eretz Yisrael, the fruits and their sweetness are really coming from a spiritual, from the presence of Hashem. So that when we have the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash and the Shechina is no longer present intensely, so Nasa Dildul Atzim B'chol HaLavushim Shal HaShechina. So then there was a depletion, a tremendous depletion in the vestments of the Shechina, meaning there are things in the physical reality that are going to be expressing the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. B'chol Zot it's going to be not just on a purely spiritual plane, but also in the physical. Shem haaretz uperotam, and then how is that expressed? It's expressed by the land and its fruits. Midat tova meruba mimidas peronos. Yalkein yismach levav kol ish Yisrael birotosh shvakim meleim kol tov amusim peros yirokos eretz chayenu yafim mimetukim nechmadim v'meirim v'yada heitev lebilavavo ki yofi gash mizeh. So when a person sees marketplaces that are filled, right, with fruits and vegetables in Eretz Yisrael, right, beautiful and sweet, right, they look nice. So you know in your heart because that this beauty, this physical beauty, is a window into the beauty of the Shechina and the sweetness, this and this sweet reality, eshnev et al matikus kedushas am Yisrael, is something that it's like in a way it's like a precursor, and it's to the hatching of the sweetness of the holiness of am Yisrael, del tov Hashem hagadol asher aleinu, and the goodness of Hashem that's on us upon us, shehevinu leeretz chayim, that brought us to this land, umeir aleinu b'chol rov dechayim hachayim meosher chay kadosh ruchniim. Right, and so now you have this physical returning. You have this physical manifestation of an abundance that's coming from its the land and its fruits, and it's basically it's an expression of this idea of Hashem that of what He's giving us from also Meosher Chai Kadosh Ruchnim from the wealth of the life of holiness of in the spiritual plane. And that it's expressed in the physical, in terms of the abundance of in the physical plane of the fruits of the land. Az tismach besula b'machol b'churim b'zekenim yachdav ha'fachti le'avlam l'sasam v'nechavtim v'simachtim yagam. Right, so they're going to come, and they're going to be, joyous in Zion, and the goodness is of Hashem, and it's going to be expressed in this abundance of in the physical, in the terms of the of the produce. And then you'll see that there'll be this expansion within the people, amongst the people, right? They won't have worry anymore. And then you'll have, the young, the virgin, and there'll be, this, connectivity between the young and the old. and that the mourning will turn to joy, and there'll be complete nechama from all the sadness. Right, so we're saying that as Eretz Yisrael like produces and like has an abundance, what we're seeing is that this, what we're talking about is that going back to the Chet HaKodmi, the Chet HaKodmi, that this original sin that had such a negative, you know, impact on the land, on Eretz Yisrael, when we see this type of reversal, so we're seeing that this is a precursor, that this is a manifestation of the Hashem's presence coming back to us. Okay, so now, on Tu B'Shvat, so that we see that it had to wait till Tu B'Shvat for Arla to cease, right? We said that Netia, planting, great, but for Arla to end, it has to be on the third year of Tu B'Shvat. So now, Kafisha Reinu, Siyam Shnos Ha'Arla, Hu Dafka B'Tu B'Shvat, B'lo Be'echa B'Tishri. So now we see that what? The Tu B'Shvat culminates not on Aleph Tishrei, but actually on the 15th of Shvat. We kind of venture yesh kesher bein Tu B'Shvat, bein tikkun achet hakadmi v'siyum shlitas ha'arla. So we see there's a very deep connection between Tu B'Shvat and the rectification of the negativity that was created by the original sin. Gizo mahut siyum ha'arla, because this is the essence of what arla is. Shu bitul koach haklip amyolam, because the process of arla is the process of getting rid of this negative, I'm going back to the word energy, but this negative impact that occurred at the time of sin. We saw that what the beginning counting is what is from Aleph Tishrei. It's only after the 3 years pass using Haminyan. So then we switch over Haminyan Hu Mitu B'Shvat. It switches over to the 15th of Shvat. Nimsa Shet Tu B'Shvat Klal Eino Shayach L'Minyan Shnos Ha'Arla El Arak Lo Tzas Ha'Eitz Mi'Arla. So now listen to this. It's not that Tu B'Shvat is part of the counting of moving this tree from the years of Arla, but rather it's taking it from a tree out, removing it from Arla. Right? It's not, again, the counting of the years of Arla, but rather it's taking this tree away from the status of Arla. So what Tu B'Shvat becomes, it comes the time of where Arla is no longer, and we have a victory over, we're able to overcome the Arla. L'chein tavin ha'kesher bein Tu B'Shvat l'tasva v'adar. So now we could see there's a connection also between Tu B'Shvat and the 15th of Adar, which we know as Purim, right? But let's see what it means. So we know this idea that 30 days before this holiday, we have an illumination of light of that holiday that's coming in the upper worlds. So then Tu B'Shvat is really the beginning of the destruction of Amalek, which comes 30 days after Tu B'Shvat. The Tu B'Shvat, because when Arla, right, we're removing Arla. Tu B'Shvat is the time when Arla is removed. Because now we have the power to be able to overcome and to suppress, or to really like overcome the powers of the Nachash, who Haman Amalek. And that's again this the power of Amalek. Ki haaretz hi shoresh ha'adam, because right again the land we saw when we read the pesukim there was what, that man was taken ki afar min adama, right? So man is his roots are in the land shu b'mimena lachein tikun ha'arla ba'aretz. So now if you want to know, so we have the tikkun of man when he gets his bris milah, but there's still the zuhama that's still there, and all of the zuhama that was placed into the land that was affected at the time of the chet. But now we have tikkun ha'arla ba'aretz hu hashorash l'tikkun ha'arla ba'adam. It's actually the corrective things that are happening to the land is really the beginning point for the ability for us to be able to correct the arla within ourselves. And it starts when? On Tu B'Shvat. Ivda Shlitas HaBaretz, because if we're able to overcome the the domination or the power that was put into the negative power that was put into the land. Right, so we see that if you overcome the negative powers that are present in the land, if you're able to overcome that, it leads us to be able to have the power to now overcome the power of Amalek. So now, Chet Adam Arishon, because in a sense, what we're saying is the Nachash HaKadmoni, that the serpent, is the powers that are there and are going to be the thing that feeds in to what we see in Amalek. So this idea of, like, what do we see? For example, just on the simplest level, the Nachash comes, and he basically brings negativity to the world, and he convinces Adam and Chava to rebel against God, right? And to be, you know, to be skeptical, right? That skepticism is really like the power of the Nachash. And the Lashon Hara, like we see just now, we had when Moshe says, "I'm not going to believe me," that the Nachash, you know, imagery is not a coincidence. It's being brought in because there's an element of Lashon Hara there, right? So that idea of skepticism and negativity that comes from the Nachash, we see that is, you know, expressed there. And so too, we see that here, that as a consequence of the chait, that negative energy was like, didn't just stop with man, but it goes into the shoresh of man, right? The roots of man is Adama. So the Adama is so negatively impacted. So this process of extricating Arla from the land, which is through the growth of trees, and through this process of a three-year cycle, which is then handed over to Tu B'Shvat, and then Tu B'Shvat, which now leads us to the 15th of Adar. So now, the sin of man, of Adam Rishon, Yabir Aleph B'Tishrei, Ubo B'Yom Nitkal Laha Adama. So on the first day of Tishrei is when the land was cursed. Lachein Muvan Heitev Madua Minyan Ha'arla. Now we understand why the beginning of the count of Arla is from the first of Tishrei. Shabo Hechala HaKlala. That's when it all started. Ah, Hinei Yesh Lahavin Madua Siyam Ha'arla Hu Tu B'Shvat. So now, why is it that it ends on Tu B'Shvat? Ve'ezo Remez Yesh B'Tarach Zeh L'Tikon Ha'arla V'Kedei Lahavin Et Tzod Ha'inyan Navit B'Rovid Ha'Pshat. Now, let's try to understand. So how do we get from Aleph Tishrei? What's Tu B'Shvat? HaGemara Omeret Shehasiba L'Chach Shetu B'Shvat Hu Rosh Hashanah Lilanos Hi Shekvar Yatsu Rov Gishmei Hashanah V'Allah Hasraf Bilanos. So what's Tu B'Shvat? So it explains that because that it's when most of the rain has ended, even though there's still going to be more rain after, but at that point we see that the sap begins to rise within the tree. Klomar Hasrafu HaKoach Shemegadal Taperos. And we know that sap is the power of what allows the tree to then grow the fruits. Which comes from what? From the rain. So Gishmei Hashana Hachadasha Yatsu Et Hasrav Shel Os Hashana. So the rains of that year, of this new year, are what helps the sap of that year. V'srav Zeh Hechel Et Pi'iluto Kfar B'Tu B'Shvat. And we see that sap starts to make things happen on Tu B'Shvat. Ki avshe yerdu og yeshama. So even though there's going to be additional rains post Tu B'Shvat, mikol makom kochos shel hasraf kfar notzer mitu B'Shvat. The power of the sap that's going to lead to this growth is starting. It's percolating on Tu B'Shvat. Memela az hechelat pulato. It's starting its actions. V'chol haperos she notzer mi'az ve'elech heim totzer shel gishmei hashanazu. So then the outgrowth of that Tu B'Shvat, awakening of the Sraf of that's coming through, is going right. That's coming from what? The rain that came this year. So it's all tied. The rain of this year is going to impact, and the outgrowth of that is specifically tied to this year. Hine anuroim shagishamim heim elu shekoven et minyan hasharim. So we see that what? It's the rain that actually impacts directly. It sets up it's what sets up the counting of the years. Ki peros shegadlu migishmei shana achas neshavim yachan v'nevdalan miperos shegadlu migishmei shana acheras. So the fruits that grow from this year's rain are connected, and they're separate from the ones that come the year after. Like literally, like halachically, we look at them as, like, for example, you want to be mafresh truma on something, those fruits of that year can be used for that year, right? And then we say that they have to be, they're separated. So why don't we start from the time of the rain, which is Cheshvan? Because those initial rains of Cheshvan don't impact, they don't make, it's just the beginning of it, right? Whatever's coming out at that point is still from the prior year. It's only from Tu B'Shvat that we start seeing the impact of this year's rains into the next year's peiros. Vinei. Tavin davar amok. So now understand something very deep. Ki lamasa hageshem husod hashefa shabam milamala. What's rain? Rain is the idea of the flow, the positive flow that comes from above. Bumamish bechinas or elyon. So the rain is, in a sense, it's a spiritual light that comes from above. V'hadamehi bechinas hamikavot hashefa, and it's the getting distracted. Let me get rid of that. And so now, so that we see that the it's the land that is the receiver from the flow from the blessing. And they have it's a male female type of relationship, the giver and the receiver. Right, and that's why you see the psukim. It actually describes it as like as intercourse. It gave birth, right? Right, the idea of this connection. V'nikru hagishamim revia, right? It's again, it's the idea of intercourse. V'tipos kechasam lekros kala. V'chol kayotzer v'zeh. V'av api shahashefa milamala megia. So even though what we say that the flow is coming from above and it arrives, but adayin lokech zman la'aretz laholid mimena peros. But now it takes time for the land to give birth to the fruits. V'tavin she'itiot shel haaretz novat me'aklala. So, but now we understand that the land, though, is still affected from the original klala. Ki kodem achet, because what do we know? That before the sin, Adam arishon hitpalel v'yodu gishamim. Man was before the sin. Man's put into the world. He davens, it rains. Umiyad samchu elamus. And then right away, you have trees. Ki lo haya kol pe'er bein there was no delay between the giver and the receiver, because they were completely whole, they were completely in sync. Mamish, it says, for example, that man and woman went into bed and two went into the bed, four came out. There was no waiting time. There was no none of this. It was right away. They were completely in sync. And so too, the idea of the giver and the receiver is similar to the idea, a thought and an action. The idea of thought is the idea is a thought of the giver. And the action is that which of one takes the thought and puts it out into and actualizes it. V'tira, kama hefreshiyesh ben hamachshava ben amatsa. Kamachshava hi karefayin. Kamachshava hi karefayin. V'machshava efshel levnos bayis shalem bevas achas. So in thought, right, when you have a thought, it goes, it's like in an instant, and it is able to allow something to be built in a second. Achamaisa iti kaved v'zorcha. But when it comes to the actual, like making the actualization of it in the physical realm, that's something that takes time. Why did this happen? Because of the sin. So before the world fell after the sin, so is reason who sowed, it's like everything was instantaneous. God said, let there be light, there was light. There was no delay. Everything happened instantaneously. So in essence, what we're saying is the sin, one of the outcomes of the sin was that there would become this, no longer is this instantaneous connection. Things didn't happen. And now there's a distance that's been created between the Mashpia and the Makabel, between the land and the heavens. Right? So now all of a sudden you're going to have to toil to make things happen. Right? That's the outgrowth. There's a disconnect basically between the giver and the receiver, and therefore the outgrowth of that the hashpa is going to be now, we're going to notice this delay. So nimsa So now we see that the delay in time between the rainfall and then the fruits coming out is an expression, right? So now this delay, it's not a punishment, but it's rather, practically speaking, is because of what happened. Now you need this time delay between the two points in order to as a corrective type of thing. So now it's the toil of man and Adama that helps fix and brings back things to where they originally were. So at the end of this of the effort, now you have the beginning, the sparkle. I mean, let's call it the sparks. Yeah, the sparks of the light of tikkun. So now we can understand the real deep understanding. Like, what's the special quality of Tu B'Shvat? Kibo hechel haaretz et pulata. Because when Tu B'Shvat comes, it's the beginning of when the land starts doing its thing. Ki amayim sod hamashpia, because the water, the rain, is that idea of the mashpia, of Hashem's blessing. Kfar yardu mitchilas hashana ach ha'aretz haita b'klolata. But the delay between the rain and now the growth is an expression of the curse. V'lachein amala rabot l'kabel at hamayim v'lachinam. So there's all this activity that's going on post the fall of the rain till we get to the place of where the sap starts flowing. And it's mitubaf b'shvat hechel et pulata. When does that start? On Tu B'Shvat. Lachnot et haperos b'legavim, to start the growth to sprout the fruits and to grow them. And therefore, b'zman zeh, it's at this time that we see the idea of the healing of the land from the sin. It's mamish and Tu B'Shvat. Right? Because again, if we start to see that here you had all this hashpa, but when you start to see the growth coming, the beginning of that growth, that's the sign, okay, we got a tikkun. V'nitaknas mipigmei, l'chein Tu B'Shvat, hu hazman shebo ha'arla posekes mi'aretz, and that's why arla stops when? On Tu B'Shvat. So tikkun achet hakadmoni. So when we start to see that we're able to, like, the influence that came, and now we're able to finally, like, actualize, that's Tu B'Shvat. That's the sign of the beginning of the healing. So the healing starts on Tu B'Shvat. V'nei taskil shahamayim heim b'chinas shefa chadash. And that's when we saw this beautiful idea, that we see that each year, it's only when the outgrowth of the new rain, right, here's the shefa, when we start to, like, now react and actualize, that that's now attributed to that year's rain, right? Ki gishmi hashana haim shef hashefa shabal la'osa hashama memala k'moshan ro'im b'shmini atzeres anu mevaksham as a geshem, right? So shmini atzeres, we say, we do tefillas geshem. V'yadua sheshmini atzeres hu siyam mahalech shalem shehechel mi Rosh Hashanah. So this is the end of the cycle of Rosh Hashanah to shmini atzeres, shehu inyan hachanas am Yisrael l'kabal tashavah. So that whole Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, right? It's all getting us to where? To be able to be ready, to be able to be mekabel God's blessing. Now we're ready to receive. And that Yom HaShmini is that special day of the unification of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Shechina and us with Hashem. All of that time is the beginning of it's getting us ready for receiving. So Knes Yisrael. Ubiyom Shmini Atzeres who sowed Hayichud the Hamshachas Tipas Hashefa Mileila El Knes Yisrael. So Shmini Atzeres is that time when there's like the final like real connectivity. We name Mavuhar Bisram Hakadoshim Shenyan Tipazu. He sowed Bakashas Hageshem, and that's the whole idea of now we can ask Hashem, send us the rain. Shehu bechinas hashefa mileila, because now we're ready to receive. Send us now. Davers em meid al mahus hageshem, and this is really the idea of what rain is. Hakolo bekirbo et kolos ha hashpa shapa milmala v'im hageshem ba kol atova kula. So we see this idea of like being able to like understand that all the goodness is going to come from above, and with that rain you have all this goodness. So this line that he's quoting is the gersa that you have in the Edut Mizrach. Edut Mizrach, I should say it in the right way. Edut Mizrach, right? And there, when they say from the time of the Saint Tal Matul Bracha, they have this Girsa, right? So that we should be satisfied from your goodness, Hashem. You should fill our hands from your blessing, and from the osher matnos yadecha, from the abundance of the giving of your hands, and the end of the end of the year should be with life, with satisfaction, and with peace. Like the prior years for blessing in Cain, Hageshem. So therefore, what we're seeing is that the idea that's all tied into rain. It's the rain season, right? Hageshem who yisod hashef alos hashana. So that the rain is the idea of it connects us to what that year's blessing, the flow that's going to come from above. Lachain shnatam shel haperos nekvas lefi hageshem shebahem gavar, and that's why we tie it to the rain. The fruits that come from that are tied to the blessing, i.e. the Geshem that came that year. Ki HaGeshem Shechol Shana Hu Ha'arach HaDashim Yilamah. Because each year's rain is a whole new aspect of a God's, you know, flow from that year for specifically. It's unique to that year. Shemitvatat B'nekudas Chiyus Elokis HaDashah Shavah L'Olam. And it really is an expression of the spark of life from Hashem that comes into the world. And then the flow through is, we express it through like the holy, you know, act of being mafresh master. So like what we're saying is, in there, in that blessing, the way we express it in terms of how we understand that the blessing is coming through is when we're mafresh truma meiser. What we're saying basically is that now all that blessing is coming through into the fruits, and then we take off the trumas and maisers, we're pulling out, because that's the point of that this idea of the nekudas achias, this spark of life that has been transmitted from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to us, and the blessing, the rain, and all that stuff. And now when we take off the trumas and maisers, that's, we're recognizing, there it is, that's the point of nekudas achias that is expressed through that. So that, okay, so that's, we'll stop here, and we'll do one more, at least, maybe more than that. Yeah, there's one or two. I think definitely one more for sure. To now get into, like, we have to talk about the fourth year and Trumas and Maisus in general. Because, like, we're just touching on it a little bit, but we need to, like, understand. But I think we have a good basis to understand, like, what we're saying here in terms of, like, the Kedusha that's flowing through from Hashem. And that what we see is that each year there's a unique aspect of blessing that's coming from Hashem through this process of the Geshem that comes in and then is received by the land. And then the land processes it. The processing time is, again, taking us back to the Klala that was going from the beginning of time, from the Chet. But then when we see that things are starting to come to that life, that spark of Kedusha that's coming through the rain and now is going to bring about the growth of fruits, so that's going to be an expression of our ability to receive and to actualize the blessing, and that starts at when do we cross over from Tu B'Shvat, because that's when we finally we're able to start the growth. And so from there, that's where we get the Kedusha comes. So that we understand that we're starting to get closer to, like, the deep, like, amazing power of what Tu B'Shvat is, which is really, like, the turn of where now we're starting to, like, see, we're able to, like, receive and now do our thing of, you know, bringing to fruition the bracha that Hashem sent us from the beginning of that, the cycle of the Geshamim, etc.
Well,
right. New stuff, right? We haven't. This is not like we never heard this before. I don't know about you, but I
a lot. Wow.
New territory. Yes.
Yeah. So, a lot. So how do you celebrate Tu B'Shvat?
Well, now I'm thinking I'm going to do a Seder. I'm going to get
I think there is something like that.
Yeah. So he has in the back of the Sefer, he has like. School, like to do things, like have a Seder, and he has a whole thing here, Sidrei Tu B'Shvat, and he has in here, you get the Shiva Minim, and he has all these different things in here, like you take Chita, Seora, Geffen, you know, Tamar, Teina, Rimon, and it's got a whole thing going on in here. It's got a Seder, like reading different parts of Nevi'im. It's pretty. This is pretty intense over here. It's like I would make a copy, but it's literally like 25, 30 pages of yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So listen, one step at a time. Yeah. Pretty amazing. Yep.